Okay, Judge Mormon, I think we're ready to go.
All right, well, welcome everyone to the February 9, 2024 Judicial Branch Budget Committee meeting. Nice to see everybody today. This meeting is open to the public and it is being recorded. The meeting is being conducted virtually and members of the public can watch the meeting via a listen-own video feed. Budget Committee members and others who may be presenting today or answering questions, please remember to unmute yourself prior to speaking. To minimize background noise, everyone, please mute yourself when you're not speaking. Also, please identify yourself prior to speaking for purposes of the recording. Ms. Cowan, will you please take roll?
Yes, Judge Mormon.
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Yamasaki.
Yes, good afternoon, present.
Thank you. Justice Fujisaki.
Here.
Thank you. Justice Hill.
Present.
Thank you. Judge Armendariz.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Botke.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Crompton.
Here.
Thank you. And Ms. Rachel Hill. She did send us a message, Judge Mormon, that she wasn't going to be able to attend, but we do have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you. And thank you, members, for joining today. We do have several matters on our agenda. Let's first turn to the minutes from January 18, 2024. They were distributed. They're at page 4 of your materials. If someone's had an opportunity to review the minutes, I'd invite a motion.
Fujisaki, so moved.
Yamasaki seconds.
Thank you. There's been a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition or abstentions? All right, the motion carries. Thank you. I don't believe we have any public comment today. Is that correct, Ms. Cowan?
That's correct. No public comment was received.
Okay, this concludes the public comment portion of the meeting. So our first item today on our agenda, which does require action from our committee, concerns the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and allocations from that fund to increase the Judicial Council's Center for Judicial Education and Research, commonly known as CJER. The materials appear at pages 5 through 8. And our presenters today are Judge Jonathan Conklin, chair of our Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. I believe Ms. I haven't seen Ms. Alvarado out there, but she could be.
I'm here. Thank you.
Hi. There you are. Okay, I'll turn it over to you, Judge Conklin.
Thank you so much, everybody. Good to see you. TICBAC actually has 4 items before you today. I'm just going to roll through each of them. The first 3 are action. The fourth one is a informational item. But the first one is just introduced by Judge Mormon. And we have Corrine with us from CJER to talk to us about a very, I think, significant and appropriate recommendation from TICBAC concerning $350,000 allocation. And Corrine, it's all yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, Judge Mormon, members of the committee. The Judicial Council's Center for Judicial Education and Research, commonly referred to as CJER, provides education and training to all new judges and subordinate judicial officers. As you know, this education equips them with knowledge and skills necessary to fulfill their roles effectively. And it's required by California Rule of Court 10.462. CJER receives an annual allocation from the IMF for this new judge education. Historically, the average number of new judges and subordinate judicial officers has been stable. Recently, however, the judicial branch has seen a significantly higher number of judicial appointments than in the past, which the branch is quite grateful for. As a result, in August of last year, CJER identified the need for a $150,000 increase to the Judicial Council approved judicial education program allocation from the IMF. This request for additional funding was approved by you and then by the Judicial Council at its November 17th, 2023 business meeting. Since that time, the number of judicial appointments has further increased, and an additional $150,000 is needed to continue to meet judicial officer education requirements in this current fiscal year. This additional funding will allow further expansion of the new judge education offerings to ensure that all newly appointed judicial officers have access to the essential education they need to best serve the public. My understanding is that based upon current revenue estimates, the fund is estimated to have a sufficient balance for this requested allocation increase. I thank you for your consideration of this request.
Corrine, thanks so much.
Do any members of the committee have any questions for Judge Conklin or Ms. Alvarado? I don't see any hands.
Judge Bakke would move to approve. Judge Mormon.
Hill will second.
Excellent. We have a motion and a second from Justice Hill. The motion made by Judge Bakke. Any further discussion or questions? Seeing no hands, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the motion carries. Ms. Alvarado, thank you very much. Thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you, Judge Mormon.
Thanks, Corrine.
All right, Judge Conklin, take it away with our second item today.
Thank you. And again, I'm just going to roll this over to the folks that know what they're talking about. This is asking you to consider a recommendation from FAMJUV to approve access to visitation grant program and distribution of $655,000 statewide. Shelley, are you with us? There she is. And I'll turn it right over to you. Thank you.
All right, good afternoon, and thank you, Judge Conklin. Thank you, Judge Mormon, and the other members. My name is Shelley Labatt. I'm a senior analyst here in California's Access to Visitation Grant Program Manager. And yes, we are requesting the committee's approval of the next 3 years of funding under the Federal Child Access and Visitation Grant Program. Family Code Section 3204B. Actually requires the Judicial Council to consider and make the final recommendation and approval for these federal grant funds. We are required to apply each year to the Department of Health and Human Services for children and families out of the Office of Child Support Services to support the grant-related services. In California, that funding is restricted to 3 specific program services around supervised visitation and exchange and parent ed and group counseling service. Since this program has been in existence since way back 1998, the council's also approved the funding allocation, the methodology under this program. And we are required, as approved by the Judicial Council, every 3 years to submit a request for proposals application. We did that in September. And so we received 9 applications, and we're just requesting again. We went through a grant review process that was approved by the Council's Family and Juvenile Advisory Committee. And so we're just bringing this proposal further for consideration and approval for the next 3 years of funding for those applicants and courts that were selected for funding. Thank you, and happy to answer any questions.
Yes, Justice Fujisaki.
So I'm looking at the chart, and it does indicate that San Joaquin was not approved. And I was just curious, was that something structural to their system? And is that something that they could, you know, next year or the next time funding comes up, they can, you know, join in on the grant funding?
No, that's a wonderful question, and happy to answer that. And yes, based on their application and based on the comments from the reviewers, the application fell out of the scope of state services, as well as the terms and conditions under the federal requirements for the grants in operating what they were proposing. And so we are actually going to send a letter to them and let them know that we're more than happy to provide technical assistance to them to help them improve their application and encourage them strongly to, yes, reapply again after we kind of go over everything with them. So.
Very good. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for that question. Anybody else have any questions or comments? All right, seeing no hands or other indications, is there a motion to approve the recommendation as presented?
Fujisaki moves.
Thank you.
Crompton seconds.
Thank you, Judge Crompton. All right, if any other comments, discussion? If not, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the motion carries. Thank you. And Judge Conklin, not the last time, but the next item number three on our agenda, concerning Dependency Council Collections Program. Go ahead.
Thanks, Judge Mormon. And this is your final action item before we get your last item, which is a informational item. So this, and again, I'm going to pass it over very quickly. This is asking you to consider two recommendations, actually. The first is to allocate a little over $349,000 in Juvenile Dependency Council Collections Program funds collected in 2022-23. And then the second is to reallocate just short of $1 million, $970,111 in unspent trial court fundings for court-appointed counsel dependency cases. And Kelly, I think you're with us. Did I see you there?
I am. Thank you so much, Judge Conklin, Judge Mormon, and members of the committee. So as Judge Conklin mentioned, today for consideration, we have two allocations recommended by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee for court-appointed dependency counsel funding. These funding allocations are brought forth to the council each year. The first one is allocation of $349,733 in funding remitted in fiscal year 22-23 by trial courts participating in the Juvenile Dependency Council Collections Program, which collects reimbursements from those demonstrating an ability to pay for the cost of counsel appointed to represent parties in juvenile dependency proceedings. And the second is the reallocation of $970,111 in expected unspent trial court funding for court-appointed dependency counsel for fiscal year 23-24. Thank you, and happy to answer any questions.
All right, any questions from members of the committee? I don't see anything. It was the memo is very self-explanatory, as are the attachments. I'm glad we do the mid-year reporting so courts can identify when they're not going to use the money, because many courts can. All right, if there are no questions, then is there a motion?
Yeah, Yamasaki moves approval of the two recommendations as contained on page 16 of the materials.
Thank you.
Hill will second.
Thank you, Justice Hill. There's been a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the motion carries. That's all of our action items. And so Judge Conklin, let's turn to our informational item today from TICPAC. Go ahead.
Great, Judge Mormon, thanks so much. And thank you all. This is, as Judge Mormon just stated, an informational item. This is an item that has been approved by TICPAC to be considered by the council at its March meeting. And we wanted to give you a background about where we were and where we're going with this. TICPAC at its last meeting approved recommendations for revisions of funds held on behalf of. The funds held on behalf of program is administered by the Fiscal Planning Subcommittee, which is a subcommittee of TICPAC. So the funds held on behalf of requests are submitted to FPS. FPS considers those applications, either denies, which is very rare because the applications are so thoroughly submitted, requests for clarification, or approves them. They go through TICPAC and then they go to the council. The informational item today is to help you understand how we have, over the past few months, evaluated this program for its effectiveness and made what we consider to be some necessary changes. Not that the program was in any way not used appropriately. That was not a concern of ours. The report we had did not in any way highlight any abuses. This is just an ongoing effort to try to make this program even more effective than it already is. So how do we get there? TICPAC received a comprehensive report about the funds held on behalf of program, which, as I said, highlighted some areas. In October of 23, Through November of 23, I asked certain members of the fiscal planning subcommittee to come together as a working group and to examine some of these issues. We met on four occasions, November through December. The meetings were at least once a week, many times twice a week, to schedule to address these issues. And again, keeping in mind, our main goal was to enhance the transparency, reliability, and effectiveness of the funds held on behalf of program, and also to streamline it, to make it a little more candidly manageable for budget services, who ultimately has a role in this, and more importantly, for the trial courts that utilize this effective program to help them manage their annual funds. These recommendations were approved, as I said, and will go to the council at its March meeting. So what are the recommendations specifically? The first one relates to new and amended requests and criteria. So to help you understand very briefly, once a court submits a request that's approved, then over the life of that request, generally they can either just update if the request is coming along as anticipated, or they can amend that request to either extend the time or to adjust the amount of that request. This recommendation touches upon how the courts will go about doing that. Through the process, we started to recognize a hybrid of an amended request that was commonly described as repurposing. And what repurposing really was a court essentially saying, hey, we finished our program, and we've got some money left over, so we'd like to keep that money and have you approve a repurposing of that for a different project, which, while at the time was in compliance with the rules, we felt perhaps would be perceived as maybe not completely within the funds held on behalf of criteria. And so we tweaked it to essentially require courts to amend the amount of money that they have or the time, but not to be allowed to repurpose it. If they have money left over, they can resubmit a new request to go through the process to be considered. So the recommendation requests, again, requests that the amended amount of funds for existing project, or you can amend it to extend the fiscal year period to implement it, or you can then submit a new request. Instead of repurposing what you already have, you submit a new request for those funds left over for a new project that goes through the same process. So that was our first recommendation towards amended requests. There's four of these as I work through them. I'm just going to pause. I've got Zlatko with me and Rose with me as well for questions as we work through them. Any questions about how this amended change will go forward? Or how it did go forward? Okay. Then we moved to submission cycles. So under the current program, the current process included three submission cycles from courts for funds held on behalf of. That would be in March, August, and September. I remind the committee members that the structure of this was a court, as we all know, closes its books at the end of the fiscal year. Close your books June 30th of the fiscal year. Then you look back and say, do we have ongoing projects? What do we want to use these funds held on behalf of as we move into the next fiscal year? Funds held on behalf of is not for the new fiscal year. It's for the fiscal year that has just closed. And so we felt it was most effective and efficient to reduce those submission cycles down to one. So instead of three separate submission cycles or four throughout the course of the year, the recommendation would establish one annual submission cycle in September after the courts have closed out their year-end books, and the request would go to the council in January for approval. So it's just streamlining, frankly, to make it easier for the trial courts and for budget services to deal with funds held on behalf of requests. Okay, so far it looks like I've got everybody with me. That's good on a Friday afternoon.
I guess maybe we can pause on that subject.
Questions there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
You sure can.
The simplification in the reducing the submission cycles from four to one, I take it has, because the committee's been through this so many times, it's practical, right? And we have Mr. Yamasaki on our committee. He'll tell me if it's not practical or not, but that, having one a year requires a lot of planning, but it seems like with these big projects, because this fund is intended for large projects that are, you know, expensive, that this is reasonable from a practical perspective, not just an efficiency perspective.
Right. Yeah, and I'd be happy to chime in on that.
Practical, Judge. David will take that.
Oh, well, so one of the things that courts have been using these money or this opportunity for is really to utilize savings that they've accumulated at the end of the year. So the fact that it's been trimmed to, you know, the end of, you know, the fiscal year as opposed to several times a year, I think from a practical standpoint, courts can very easily, you know, adjust the schedule of how they plan to once a year. And it certainly saves a lot of time on the JCC staff's time of vetting, receiving, meeting. I mean, every time there's a request that comes in, we have to meet and the staff have to put together the materials. So it certainly facilitates that end of things for them. And I think this is very achievable for the trial courts with that abbreviated schedule.
Thank you.
Can't hear you, Z.
Nothing at all now, not even a whisper. Sorry, Z. So he's going to work on that. It also, as David was commenting, in Canada, it makes it FPS's job easier too, because we were meeting numerous times a year. While these meetings were very efficient, it was at least four additional meetings per year for all the members of FPS. This takes that down, as David said, to a much more practical and efficient one meeting per year. And okay, Zico, great. Unfortunately, is now trying, but we'll give him a chance to chime back in as soon as he can. So if there's no other questions on that, I'll move to the next modification. And that was a pretty straightforward one, and that was court representation. These meetings, as I said, the ones we're holding four times a year, the way they were structured is it'd be an open meeting, we'd call the meeting, all the members would be present, and then we would just go down the list. And sometimes it was as few as two or three courts, and sometimes it was as many or 10 or 15 requests. And for efficiency purposes, I would, as chair, simply say, is there a representation from the court available? If not, I would take it. It did make it more efficient, but we found and we thought it would make it more reliable and transparent to strongly request that the court's representative actually be present to present and answer questions about their application. We just, again, remember, we're striving here for transparency and reliability. And rather than speak for the court based on their application, we want the court to be able to speak for itself. So while it's not an absolute requirement, in other words, if the court for some reason cannot attend, we'll consider their request, but it is a very strong request that they actually be present to present at the meeting. Any questions on that? Okay. The next one as well is a rather technical adjustment, and that's the application form. This is an ongoing process, but the form itself is very extensive. Actually, as counterintuitive as this sounds, the depth of the form was what led to these projects being approved so routinely, because the courts were very effective at providing information through the form, but the form itself is cumbersome. And so we're going to use this opportunity to redesign the existing application to make it easier to complete and review. We're just going to clean it up and narrow it down so it includes relevant project and fiscal information needed for consideration to track the request. And Budget Services will get to work on improving that form after this is approved by the council. Hearing no questions, moving to the fifth item. This is the reimbursement model. So I want to be as clear as I can here. The way the current process works is the funds are distributed to the court once their project is approved. Well, it as we looked at this, we realized that is counterintuitive. I've used that word two or three times today. To what the funds held on behalf of project really is. It should be funds held on behalf of the courts in the TCTF. And so in order to be true to the title of the program, and we think the intent of the program, we're going to, we have suggested to the council that the reimbursement model be, the funds will be held in TCTF. They will then be dispersed to the court on a monthly basis throughout the fiscal year as the court establishes they have utilized those funds. And there was, I think we really got down in the weeds in this. David can comment on it as well if he wants to. We recognize that the perception is this might create a little bit more work for the courts, but actually not, because this is what they have to be doing anyways. They have to be keeping track of how they spend and how they need the funds. This is just, again, an effort to make sure that the funds are distributed as originally intended. David, any thoughts or anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you've kind of detailed it very, very accurately. And so getting the monies all at once, unfortunately, may not align with the service agreements and payment schedules that a court may enter into with a particular vendor. So as the monies are paid out, I think it's very appropriate and very achievable for courts to come to, you know, align their practices with. So I think that's great.
Any questions on that? And then recognizing we're within our time, but very close to the end. The last one is more of a technical change, and that's language amendments to the current policy to reflect the recommendations that we've made here. So the final policy will be modified to set forth the changes that we have now approved and move forward to the council. So you have this in your materials. Again, it's informational only. And we'll get this to the council, even though now the council meeting in March is a Zoom meeting. I would assume, I don't know if Justice Hill can comment on this or not. He probably hasn't worked that far ahead yet, but I would assume this will probably be not it'll actually be on the council's open agenda for that meeting rather than, and the word's escaping me. Consent agenda. Yeah, it won't be on the consent agenda. I believe it'll be an actual action item on the council's open agenda. So we'll take it to council in March.
Okay, well, thank you for that presentation. I think Black Cove still got technological problems, but any questions or other? Any, Mr. Yamasaki, did you wish to comment?
Yeah. I was waiting for you to finish. I didn't mean to jump in quite that fast. So one of the things that people may be concerned about is the fact that remember, when we first enacted this program, it was at a time when there was a 1% fund balance cap. It obviously increased to 3% is where we're living now. But what's on the table and what was included in the governor's budget was raising that cap to 5%. Now, that decision has not been finalized. I'm hopeful, and I think the judicial branch has made the case to increase or raise that level to 5%. But notwithstanding that, I still think the changes that TICBAC has recommended with the internal review of all of the issues that we were trying to overcome and the recognition that maintaining transparency is so important, I think that this is a really positive refinement relates to the funds held on behalf of program. And, based on the discussions that took place at the full committee, everybody felt the same way. So, it's been vetted very thoroughly and very good questions were asked and it went ahead. So I think that's a indication where folks stand.
Yeah, I appreciate that, David. And Judge Mormon, if you don't mind, I should really acknowledge Rose, who's been very quiet on this meeting, but Rose, along with Donna and Fran and Zlatko, just really did a great job keeping us on track and helping us as we move forward. So Rose, thanks again, as always, the ones that are the quietest that do the most work, and you showed us that here. So thanks so much.
Thank you for that. And I would note, just for members of the committee, the transparency of funds used by the branch, have many layers to them. And this policy and its refinements are, reinforcing our commitment to that transparency, but As you know, the funds used on behalf of or held on behalf of is part of a report to the legislature that's published every year in February, I believe. And then individual courts are audited periodically, and those audits also are another check and balance to make sure the funds are being used as intended. All right. Does anybody have any other questions today? If not, yes, Justice Fujisaki.
Not a question. I just wanted to say that these refinements that were presented to us, they make all the sense in the world, and I'm glad to see them being implemented. I also just want to thank whoever drafted this memo, because the way that the information was laid out made it very straightforward and easy for me to understand. So I appreciate the organization that went behind, not just the revisions themselves, but the memo that was presented to us.
That was Rose. Good work, Rose.
Thank you.
Good work, Rose. Okay, well, if we have no other comments, I just want to remind everybody our next meeting is scheduled and will be held on Wednesday, March 13 from 1 to 4. Please be sure your calendars are clear for that period of time. This will be our first meeting to discuss and hear about the proposed budget change concepts for the 25-26 budget. This is a detailed and time-consuming undertaking. It's very, very important. So please be sure your afternoon is as clear as you possibly can make it. It will be remote. Because our Judicial Council meeting later that week is also going to be remote, so we're not going to travel for this meeting. You'll get invitations and the link and everything from Angela, and of course, there'll be materials. But unless there's anything else for the good of the order, Zlatko, we're super sorry you were having technological problems. We look forward to seeing you again.
Judge Mormon, really quick, just wanted to mention that today is the deadline for our concepts to be submitted. So we have several that we're receiving all day today and have received over the week. So we should be very ready for that meeting in March.
Excellent. And past experience of mine is that the budget staff does present these concepts in a very organized fashion. We have these great charts and, you know, color-coded, keeps us organized. It's really great. Okay. Anybody have anything else to add today? If not, not seeing any hands. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you to staff. If there's no further business, we're adjourned.
Thank you. Have a nice weekend.
Bye-bye.